Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 29th day of October 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Along the way, I'll update you on all the happenings in Washington, D.C. They include a budget deal and one on crop insurance. And we'll take up the difference between now and the last time we were in the bust part of the boom-bust agriculture cycle back in the late 1970s and early 1980s. That with Gary Schnipke, agricultural economist, on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished up on a Thursday. Nearby corn in the December contract up 4 cents at $3.80. March at 3.89 3/4, 3 3/4 higher. And the May at 3.95 3/4, up 3.5 cents. July corn 3.5 higher at $4 even. And December up 4.5 at 4.06 1/2. Soy complex, November beans down 2 3/4, $8.78 3/4. The final trade, January at 8.80 1/4, down 2.5. And the March at 8.83 1/4, 3 1/4 lower. July at 8.94 1/2, down 2 3/4. November beans at $8.84 1/2, down 2 3/4 cents. Bean meal futures for the day finished at 301.60, up $1.60. The bean oil 27.88, down 23 cents. Wheat futures soft red, up 9 at $5.15 in the December. July at 5.25, up 6 1/4. And the hard red July finished at 5.24 3/4, 3 3/4 cents higher. Feeder cattle were down 35 cents in the lead October at 193.15, November at 191.97 1/2. Down 27 1/2 cents. The October live cattle at $140.27 1/2, up 60, but December down 85 at $142.75. And the lean hogs for the day for 100 pounds in the December contract, $59.70, $1.70 lower. You can visit our website, willag.org, anytime you'd like to pick up our radio programming. It's all posted there not long after it airs on our radio station. In the case of Commodity Week, which we'll record this afternoon at 3 o'clock Central Time, it'll be up tonight.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Here's what the crude oil's trading like at this hour. Down a dime at $45.84 after that big run-up yesterday. Ethanol futures are $1.58 0.8 a gallon. That's up about 0.2 cents per gallon. Gasoline on the wholesale price, the RBOB, at $1.34 1/2, just about 0.5 cents lower. And the heating oil at $1.47 1/10, a penny and 2 cents lower. Natural gas at $2.26, down 3 8/10 cents. Dow Jones Industrial Average 45 points lower at 17,657. The dollar down 0.491 at 97.375. And gold futures for the day at $1,146.75, down $29.35. The weather forecast tells us the rest of the afternoon will be cloudy with a high of just 47 degrees. Cloudy tonight, gradually becoming partly cloudy, will drop to a low of 35, a west-northwest wind at 6 to 13 miles an hour tonight. Friday, sunny skies and a high of 58. Calm winds by the time we get tomorrow. That'll be nice. South winds at 5 to 7 in the afternoon. A Friday night chance of rain, about 40%. That after 1 a.m. in the morning, mostly cloudy, a low of 45. South winds will continue at 6 to 8. And Saturday will go to a high of 56. South-southeast winds at 10 to 17, gusting to 24. Chance of precip on Saturday evening set at 80%. And on Sunday, finally, mostly sunny skies and a high of 64. More on the weather at the bottom of this half hour.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this 29th day of October, 2015. Have you visited our website or the farmassetsconference.com site to pick up your tickets yet for our November the 24th event? It's a really good one. We have it planned, and it looks like the agenda's fantastic. You can see all the details right there on our website, farmassetsconference.com. If you already know you want to come, just dial this number right now, 800-898-1065. During regular business hours, 800-898-1065. Ask for your tickets to the Farm Assets Conference, November the 24th in Normal, Illinois at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Tickets are just $30 for the day-long event. Now let's turn our attention to the marketplace. Matt Bennett of Bennett Seeds, our Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, joins us. Thanks, Matt, for filling in for Dan Zwicker, who's out of the office this afternoon. Do appreciate that. Tell me about what you see in the marketplace today.
Well, I think this week's been an interesting week. You know, you look at the corn market higher there on Monday, lower Tuesday and Wednesday, and then higher again today, whereas the soybean market, for the most part, hasn't really had the best week. I think when you look at exports today, obviously bean exports were good. It's concerning to me whenever you get big shipments on Monday, big sales on Thursday, and the soybean market has a hard time finding any buyers. It's kind of a bad situation, but I keep thinking that the bean market will run out of sellers here sooner or later. The corn market looks to me like it's just kind of trading sideways at this point, looking for some news to push it in one direction or another. And so I think moving forward, most guys are really hoping for a corn rally. And as we get out of the month of October, we certainly need to keep our eye on what these markets are doing, because crop insurance time is pretty well up now, and we don't really have any protection for downside if we haven't done anything on the board.
So when we talk about what's been happening in the soy complex, beans in particular, earlier in the week, we thought maybe that that was some spread unwinding and that it would take 2 or 3 days. Wheat futures, again, are up today in the Chicago about 9 cents. Was it a continuation of the spread unwinding that's happening in the soy and the wheat, or are there something other that's taking place in the wheat market?
Well, you know, it kind of looked that way, but then that happened on Monday, and then you turn around on Tuesday, and we kind of went the other way. Corn and wheat settled lower, and beans settled higher. But as far as the wheat goes, it sure looks like that's what's been going on for the week as a whole. I don't know if we're going to be seeing a whole lot more of that. I would think that would be drying up fairly soon.
And is those the sellers you're talking about finally, eventually leaving the marketplace then for soybeans?
Well, I think with soybeans, it's going to be a tough call. I mean, we're really, really heavily under the influence of what's going to go on in South America. I mean, that's part of the reason we've had a hard time in the bean market, is because most forecasts said, you know, the dry trend in Brazil is going to be alleviated somewhat here moving forward, and weather conditions are going to improve. I think if we don't have a weather market in South America, it's going to be really tough to get a sustained rally in the bean market, just simply due to the fact that, you know, while demand is very good, it's been robust, supply is even more of an issue, probably to take over demand.
So not much. Well, let me ask you this question then. If you think that corn can rally into in the month of November, will soybeans not follow them?
Well, that's a good question. And I think that if the corn market rallies in the month of November, then there's probably a pretty decent likelihood that beans will at least hold themselves together. I just think that it's pretty concerning to see such excellent demand news, which, you know, if you're going to look towards the supply side of this market, you're going to have a tough time sustaining any sort of rally potential. But demand is where we've been able to keep beans from falling out of bed. Demand has not gone anywhere, but it's actually been phenomenal here recently. And this week we've had good demand news twice now, and we've really struggled with the beans to find any support for them. So, you know, it would stand to reason that, yeah, they could go in two opposite directions, but I don't expect that on a grand scale by any means.
Well, this is kind of a confounding issue, because we have already I think, built into the marketplace to some extent. A record size crop potential out of Brazil at 100 million metric tons. How much better could that crop get in South America, given a little rainfall and the planters rolling?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't think anybody is going to be trying to go more than 100 at this point. And, you know, the bottom line is, as far as our world supply situation, we could stand to have a sub-100 Brazilian crop and still have plenty of beans in the world. So, you know, from the supply side of things, it's going to be awfully tough to have any sort of supply-led rally anytime in the near future. But by all means, demand has been a very welcome surprise. We've seen the Chinese buy a lot more beans. You know, it wasn't 6 weeks ago, and we had quite a few analysts saying that soybean exports for this marketing year were going to be abysmal, but just because going into the marketing year, they hadn't booked a whole lot of beans. But yet, look at where we're at today. We're actually running ahead of pace. So it's pretty interesting to see how quickly things can change.
Matt, thanks so much for taking the time with me today.
Yeah, thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois. He joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can hear him again on our website at willag.org. That'll be up around 3:15, 3:30 this afternoon, actually far long before that, I'm sure. And then, of course, Commodity Week. We'll record at 3 o'clock today, and we'll get that posted by somewhere around 5:30 this afternoon. It'll air there before it goes up on any of our radio stations. Willag.org, by the way, while you're there, order your tickets for our Farm Assets Conference. You can just dial this number, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. In today's agricultural news, farm state lawmakers are pledging support to the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015, despite cuts in the deal to crop insurance. That's because House and Senate agriculture leadership say they have a deal with congressional leaders to address the cuts in a spending bill later this year. Senate Agriculture Chairman Pat Roberts speaking on the Senate floor.
This commitment is in reference to the obvious need to remedy the language adversely affecting our nation's farmers and ranchers now included in the Bipartisan Budget Act. This provision, Section 201, included in the underlying bill, should it go into effect, would greatly damage the crop insurance program as we know it, not to mention the farmers who purchase this crop insurance. The commitment we have reached is to reverse these damaging cuts and policy changes to the crop insurance program in order to protect our producers.
Roberts pledged his support of the budget deal with the crop insurance agreement in place while speaking on the Senate floor. However, off the floor, he told Roll Call he had yet to decide whether or not to support the budget deal. He did say he was pleased the crop insurance would be resolved. The cuts in the Budget Act would trim an estimated $3 billion worth of savings from the crop insurance portion. Roberts says revising those cuts is a top priority.
All of the talk and the great effort that we had to pass the Farm Bill, 408 days, number one issue to farmers and ranchers in every commodity group, every farm organization, crop insurance. This legislative action, or fix, if we want to call it that, will take place in consideration of the year-end spending bill.
Roberts says he worked closely with House Ag Chair Mike Conaway of Texas to get an agreement in the House, as well as the Senate, to address crop insurance cuts in the Budget Act later on this year in the 2016 spending bill. However, incoming House Speaker Paul Ryan criticized farm subsidies during the Farm Bill process, adding some doubt to the funding restoration. Elsewhere in Washington this week, the U.S. House passed a bill to delay positive train control for 3 to 5 years. That's welcome news to agriculture, as the mandate's deadline at the end of this year was expected to cause shipping delays for inputs and grain. However, Senate action is still needed to ensure the deadline extension. The bill passed on a voice vote with little debate. The Association of American Railroads, the Federal Railroad Administration, and the Government Accountability Office, or the GAO, have all said that the railroads did not have enough time to comply with the previous law before the December 31st deadline. And finally today, USDA has announced the federal agency will partner with 21 states through the Biofuel Infrastructure Partnership to increase access to biofuels. The funding announced back in May, just after the Environmental Protection Agency announced a reduced renewable fuels standard, increases the number of pumps that offer higher blends of ethanol, like E85 and E15. USDA expects the funding to expand infrastructure by nearly 5,000 pumps at over 1,400 fueling stations. USDA initially announced $100 million worth of funding would be available for states and private partnerships to match by a 1-to-1 ratio. USDA received applications requesting over $130 million, outpacing the $100 million amount that was available. With the matching commitments by state and private entities, the BIP is investing a total of $210 million. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says consumers will begin to see more of these pumps in a matter of months. The 21 states participating in the BIP include Colorado, Florida, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, Texas, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wisconsin. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Hey, have you signed up for that Farm Assets Conference that's coming up at the end of the month of November, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, the 24th day in Normal, Illinois at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center? If not, today's the day to do it. This is a really great conference. We've worked really hard to put together a fantastic agenda for the day. It includes, of course, our panel of analysts to talk about corn and soybeans and the price of commodities. Sue Martin will be there, and so will Jerry Golke as our special guest, and many of the folks that you hear on air, like Mike Zuzlo and Jackie Vakes. Among the rest of the crew, we'll talk about farmland prices and value. Bruce Sherrick will be there again this year. That's our second annual event, by the way. And he's with the Farmland Investment Center that belongs to TIAA-CREF upstairs here in Mumford Hall at the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. He'll take up what the future of farmland prices might look like and the value of that most important farm asset. Other assets include the data that you collect from your farm. We'll discuss that in the form of big data with John Jansen from Monsanto Climate Corp FieldView. We'll discuss not the sales of FieldView to you, but really what big data is and how to work through it. Those are just a sampling of the things you'll hear at the Farm Assets Conference. The cost is just $30. You can buy tickets at willag.org or go to farmassetsconference.com to see all the agenda and the details. Or you can just call this number, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Right now, tickets are just $30. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined by Gary Schnittke, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. He's written an article about farm solvency for the FarmDoc Daily website. See it online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Gary, can you start by telling me the comparison that you made with the solvency issues of the farm crisis of the mid-1980s? What was it like then?
Yeah, so the mid-1980s, we saw run-up in farmland prices and run-up in debt levels on farms. That then led, or we saw declines in commodity prices, and that led to cash flow problems, and eventually we saw farmland prices and other assets decline rapidly, and we had a lot of solvency problems on farms, and a number of farms went bankrupt because their assets did not exceed debt.
How do today's solvency issues differ from those of the 1980s?
So the solvency issues today differ because if we look at the same sort of price decline on farmland, actually a little bit bigger, that we had during the 1980s and just did it to our typical balance sheet on our farms today, what we would see is the debt-to-asset ratio would go from 0.20, which is what it is today, to 0.26. So that's an increase, and the farmland price decline of that magnitude would cost farmers or grain farmers in Illinois roughly $1,300 an acre. But it wouldn't lead to solvency issues for typical farms. And a lot of that has to do with a lot lower debt now because we have very low debt-to-asset ratios, and also because a lot of our farms have relatively small portions of their land base owned. Typical farm in Illinois has about 26% of its acres owned. And so, you know, even if that 26% decline, there's, you know, a lot of acres that they control that aren't being subject to that price decline.
So it appears you used a pretty radical price decline. I think it was 42% in the 1980s.
Yeah, that's what we saw, prices decline over a seven-year period in the 80s. And so we just took 50% and said, let's see what happens if our fixed assets or primarily land declined on our balance sheet by 50% now.
Any surprises you found in the numbers when you ran them?
You know, what's sort of interesting about debt or farmland assets right now, farmland price declines, is that really has less of an impact on our troubled farms. Because the one farms that are probably going to have the most trouble now are those that are high cash rent. So 90%+ of their acres are cash rent. So they have a lot of cash rent, very little owned land base, so a farmland price shock doesn't have much of an impact on them. On the other end, the farmland price shock would have a higher impact on those that own more of their farmland. However, in most cases, those individuals that own most of their farmland have very little debt levels. So it would be bad for them, but it wouldn't cause a solvency issue.
I saw three numbers for the debt-to-asset ratio. They were 2.0, 2.6, and 3.0. What do they mean?
So back in 2000 to 2001, 2002, early 2000s, our average debt-to-asset ratio on Illinois farms were close to 0.3. We saw that decline to about, or to 2.20, where it is currently, and we would see it to go to 0.26 if we had a 50% price decline.
Oh, so it gives us a comparison to a not great time in agriculture in the early 2000s, but still a comparison to a time when farmers were able to survive.
Yeah, so we went and see, and again, this is a typical farm, has 26% of its acres owned. 50% decline today wouldn't cause that farm to have an excessively large debt-to-asset ratio.
Gary Schnittke is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You may read more from him on the Farm Doc Daily website. That's farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. You know, I was looking ahead at my personal calendar, some of the events that are on my list of things to do, not this weekend, but the following weekend. The Field and Furrow Club here on this campus will celebrate its 80th anniversary. I'll MC their main event on Saturday evening. And if you're a member of the Field and Furrow Club, you're welcome to come. In fact, because of alumni, this is open and free to those Field and Furrow Clubs members that want to come. You can check out our website. I'll make sure the details are there. They'll start on Friday night at the I Hotel. Saturday, they'll take a tour of the renovated soils and labs down in the basement of Turner Hall. Those are magnificent. There's lunch at the Illinois game. We'll be watching it, of course. It's in Purdue or at Lafayette. But we'll be up in the Memorial Stadium 77 Club and then the Field and Furrow Club banquet on Saturday night. Find all the details on willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Mocha Day. The Mocha's roots is not in espresso steamed milk and chocolate, but rather a coffee bean with a chocolatey taste native to Ethiopia. It was Marco Polo that introduced the mocha bean to Europe and then the world. It's also St. Michael's Day, patron of grocers and bankers. On this day in agricultural history in 1859, Herman Biggs was born, an American physician. He pioneered the use of bacteriological studies in the field of public health for the prevention and control of contagious diseases. In 1860, Chapman Aaron Harris died. He was a co-founder of the first dental school in the world, the Baltimore College of Dental Surgery. In 1913, Rudolf Diesel died, a German thermal engineer. He invented the internal combustion engine that bears his name. He patented his concept in 1892. 21 years later, he threw himself over the rail of an English Channel steamer in 1913 after having lost control over his invention and after receiving a great deal of criticism in the German engineering journals for his theories. And in 2008, following the bankruptcies of Lehman Brothers and Washington Mutual, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 777.68 points, the largest single-day point loss in its history. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. There you can buy your tickets to the Farm Assets Conference, just $30. You can also dial in right now at 800-898-1065. Now let's check the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
We did see widespread precipitation. Some of it was heavy from parts of western and northern Kentucky into southern Indiana and parts of west central and southwestern Ohio. Some of those areas picking up on 1 to 3 inches of moisture. A lot of other areas, 3/4 of an inch to 1.5 inches. And those other areas include Indiana and the balance of Ohio. Further to the northwest, another region of significant rains occurred this week from eastern Iowa into parts of central Wisconsin. Again, totals there running 3/4 of an inch to 1.5 inches. And another area near the east central portions of Minnesota that also received similar amounts. The rest of the Midwest, east of the Missouri River, saw totals that ranged from a couple tenths to 3/4 of an inch. The moisture was all welcome, and we do have better moisture conditions for soft wheat to establish in, but there will still be a need for greater amounts of moisture to induce better runoff and improved river and stream flow. Certainly the precipitation that occurred in the middle Ohio River Basin area this week was significant enough for a good runoff to occur in some locations, but most of the better runoff occurred in urban areas, whereas the rural communities there had such dryness in the soil that a lot of this precipitation was absorbed into the ground with little difficulty. Well, the outlook is for another weather system or two to impact parts of the Midwest as we go forward out through this next 7-day period. Most of the precipitation, though, is advertised to be lighter than what was suggested earlier this week, not necessarily a big change from yesterday. Now, we do expect to see today mostly dry across the Midwest. Tomorrow should be mostly dry as well, but tomorrow afternoon we will see an increase in precipitation occurring from parts of Nebraska and western Iowa into portions of Kansas and western Missouri. The precipitation is not expected to be heavy, but it will be a new round of precipitation beginning. As the precipitation moves across the Midwest here as we go Friday night into Saturday and early Sunday, we'll see precipitation in many areas of the Midwest, but amounts will be low. We'll look for the majority of the region seeing a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to 5 or 6 tenths of an inch, and the precipitation will move fairly steadily from west to east across the region. Disruptions to fieldwork will continue, but after that system passes, we may get a couple of extra days of good drying conditions before the next storm system comes along. We'll also see temperatures turn warmer as we get towards the first part of next week, and that will help to dry down some of the fields and allow for fieldwork to occur. There may be some increasing wind across the region before the next storm system impacts the region, and that is most likely going to take place during the middle part of next week. At that point, we will see another wave of rain of significance occurring, and we may see some locally heavy rainfall, although my confidence level in that event at the moment is quite low. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Our thanks, of course, go to Drew Lerner for his updates of the agricultural weather forecast for the growing regions in the Midwest, the nation, and around the planet. You can catch Drew and all of our agricultural meteorologists online at willag.org. While you're there, pick up your tickets to the Farm Assets Conference. They're just $30. You can go to farmassetsconference.com, willag.org, or dial 800-898-1065. I'm Todd Gleason.